Hey, how you doing? It's Rumor Innuendo Wednesday, and it is Dominic D'Angelo. And what a D'Angelo day it is. I am here with Robert Karpolis, WE underscore creativeish on X, and we are going to talk a little Tony D'Angelo today. How you doing, Robert?
All right, there's a couple things to unpack right off the bat. Number one is WW Creative underscore ISH.
Dang it.
You'll get it right eventually. Number two, you are dressed like the little guy in Mike Tyson Punch-Out that fights. It's unnerving.
Oh, Joe Mac, or Little Joe. Little Mac.
Little Mac. It's unnerving. It's weird. And I'm guessing you're doing this accent because you watched NXT last night, and you are all fired up. We're all fired up for you guys to be here. A couple of quick shout-outs. Mike Malaro says, Dom has set us Italians back a century.
What are you talking about?
You're killing me. Jim Broderick says, good afternoon to the best show on YouTube. Jim, I don't watch a lot of YouTube shows, so I'm gonna take that. And Travis Wadlow, salutations, everyone. It's a little formal, but we'll go with it. It's a formal Wednesday here, Dom.
Very formal.
Even though you're wearing a sleeveless, like you look ridiculous. It's this is the world that I'm in right now. You got the hat on, but hey. Best producer in all of wrestling world. You wrote a run sheet today that is second to none. Don, what are we talking about today?
Wow, we got some setup here. Yeah, I did watch NXT, obviously, but we're going to preview AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk about Sammy Guevara getting suspended, someone getting let go from AEW, and a little bit more, too. WE Hall of Fame announcement as well. So, but yeah, let's start off here just a little bit talking NXT. Obviously, Tony D'Angelo, number one contender for Stand and Deliver. Against Ilya Dragunov. Very excited. Represent in Philadelphia, my backyard. But we'll start off talking about William Regal. He showed up. He's back on NXT television, at least briefly. He interacted with his son, Charlie Dempsey, about the Heritage Cup and talked about what that meant to him. Robert, talk about the impact that kind of William Regal brings. It's kind of, he sets a new tone kind of for NXT in a lot of ways in that, you know, who he is. So
Regal is by far my favorite GM style character. He's someone who has gravitas. He has authority. He looks great in a three-piece suit. And when you see him out there, whether it's NXT, whether it's Raw, whether it's SmackDown, there's immediate credibility behind what he's saying and doing because he is that rare talent who is a hell of a technical wrestler, but he also understands everything that encapsulates sports entertainment. So the fact that he left AEW, that he was allowed to leave and go back, in part was because he wanted to go and help his son. And we're starting to see that here in NXT. And I think that's, for him, one of the true great joys. You think back to Dusty Rhodes and what he was able to do in NXT. He didn't really get that opportunity with Cody. A lot of those NXT kids view Dusty as a father figure. But when Cody was there, they didn't really get that opportunity. And I think that had to have stuck with Regal. I know when I worked with Dusty, he was on creative. Regal was an active competitor, so I know that they had a lot of interaction there. Later in life, I know when I worked with Ted DiBiase, he had talked about, this is prior to his kids getting involved in the business, that his dream was to see his son, Ted, in there. So Dempsey, a hell of a talent on his own, even without the Regal component to it, but I love the interaction you're getting between those guys.
I know, and he's got a good look. Something that really stood out to me was the moment, like when Regal got in there, I was like, how are they not going to make Regal overshadow his son, basically? And they pulled it off, I think, because Charlie pushed right back at Regal. Like Regal was putting over the Heritage Cup and saying like how much it means to like the heritage of English wrestling and, you know, British wrestling and catch wrestling and all that stuff. And then Charlie Dempsey steps forward and says like, I could take you on any day about it. Yeah, I would do way better than you would at it. And basically like Regal was like, oh, okay, well, fee, fi, fo, fum, and got out of the ring, and that was it. So I thought it was pretty good setup to say like, hey, Charlie's gonna kind of make his own way. And clearly they know what they're doing down there. And yeah, but it's pretty fun to see what Regal back in the
They definitely know what they're doing there in NXT. I think they've turned the corner of late. And I see there's a comment here from William Thornbrew. Anything new about Billy and the CW? I think CW has landed the best property right now, which is NXT. Mm-hmm. The fact that NXT is going to be there on TV, it's going to drive traffic there every week. It's become such a fun 2-hour television show to watch. It's a lower impact show. You can just tune in and tune out week to week. You're going to get great episodic storytelling, but they take the time to introduce these characters. you get to learn and understand who they're going to be. And the call-ups over the last few months have really rewarded you if you're an NXT viewer. The Tiffany Stratton of it all. Yeah. When you're watching it on NXT on Tuesday nights now on USA, you feel very protective of those people because you've seen these talents mature from she debuted in video packages to now she's on the main roster. You've taken that journey with her. You're invested in her. You want to see her succeed. It's kind of the secret sauce of NXT. And the Dempsey Regal stuff is another wrinkle of that because it's allowing an established star to rub up against younger talent. And we're doing it early here, guys, but speaking of rubbing up,
I was going to say, God,
it crashed. As soon as I went to go pull it up, the sheet, Dom, my computer knew it's like, we got to stop this before he even,
this is too much already.
Gets there. But you're not going to stop if you take Blue Chew because, guys, this episode is sponsored by our friends at Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. For all you know, popping that Blue Chew today, in 20 or so years right now, you may have your own young NXT star out there, and you can say, that kid's here because I listen to Robert, and I took Blue Chew because, guys, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this incredible episode of Rumor and Innuendo. And I'm serious. What's going to wind up happening here, Dom, is in about 22 years from now, you're going to get wrestlers that are cutting promos that say, I wouldn't be standing here in the ring right now if it wasn't for the fact that my dad popped a Blue Chew.
Thanks to Rumor and Innuendo. All that happening. Just forget about it.
Hey. No, you did it again. We're pulling back the reins. We've moved on the NXT of it all.
Dang it. All right.
You're killing me. I can't do the Italian accent because then it's like cultural appropriation.
I allow you.
Then it's inappropriate. And we are, by the way, fun fact, broad international fan base here. I saw this yesterday.
Yeah.
We are a top 10 podcast in Israel.
How about that? Jeez.
So, you know,
international, baby.
We are international. I know we're also huge in Poland. I don't know what's going on there in Poland. Thank you to our Poland. Thank you to those folks listening all over the world. I know we get comments in here from people listening in across Europe and Africa, Asia, all over the damn place. In fact, I know Christopher Zanto said he's watching this on the West Coast. Thanks for sharing your morning with us, having a nice cup of coffee and tolerating Dom's incredibly uncomfortable Italian accent. Dom, what's next on the agenda?
Yeah. So, I think, what we should probably cover next is a little bit of whatever you want.
You're the guy steering the ship, man.
Obviously AEW Dynamite's tonight. And, we got a follow-up. Sting is retired. It's a new logo, new look, new feel. And then we also, there's only a couple matches announced. It's Kyle Fletcher versus Will Ospreay, who was listed as questionable earlier on, like at the press conference. So apparently he's okay. The good to go. His butt was bruised, but he's still able to wrestle, apparently. Robert, what are you kind of hoping to see here from AEW Dynamite as a new turn of the leaf, almost, so to speak?
So peek behind the curtain. What's kind of fun is we went through the run sheet, and I'm looking, and I'm like, where's the Dynamite preview? And Dom's like, I forgot Dynamite was tonight.
I did.
So... he's all fired up to talk NXT, but
for Tony,
he forgets that it's the post AEW Revolution Dynamite. We're going to get probably a video package about Sting's retirement, most likely because it did not air on the pay-per-view. I know Sting did cut an extended promo after the cameras went off the air that I know they recorded. Maybe we'll get some pieces of that. I would love some farewell messages from some of the wrestlers. I think that would be pretty cool to hear. And then it's going to be the Young Bucks show. These guys need to recapture their heat. taking back the tag titles, unveiling maybe a tournament. We don't know. They've certainly established Moxley and Claudio as top contenders. You've got FTR in there as top contenders. A lot of tag teams in Private Party. They've been promoting the hell out of those guys a little bit. We'll see, you know, what's in store for the AEW tag division, but I think that's going to take a step forward. It feels like this pay-per-view coming up, based on the poster, a little bit of the Night of Champions vibe. It's all the current champions, so maybe every belt's on the line. And I can say it's a belt because it's AEW.
That's right. It's different.
And yeah, Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay, guys, we are living in some pretty decent times right now when this is going to be on free television. All due respect to Will Ospreay's bruised ass, which is a sentence I didn't think I was going to be saying this early in the day or at all. But the Ospreay Takeshita match, I'll say his name so you don't have to.
Thank you.
On Sunday, just a barn burner. Will Ospreay is the secret. He is the key to AEW finding success going forward. He's got a look. He's got promo ability. He connects with the audience. His in-ring skill is so unparalleled that Meltzer has teased having to create a separate category for end of year with match of the year and Ospreay match of the year. So if you're tuning in just for that match, you're doing it right. What else was announced for? Oh, the new logo.
The new logo and look, and it's got a completely new set too, apparently.
This is going to change it, guys. Malibu Stacy's getting a new hat, and it's the one thing we've been saying all along was wrong, and we're going to get a new logo, and it looks strikingly similar to their old logo, and as some folks, including O'Shea Jackson Jr., pointed out, looks a lot like the NXT 2.0 logo. So I don't know. I think that Mike Mansouri and his team sure as hell know what they're doing in terms of television production. It'll be a nice fresh paint of coat, as our ad-free show brethren, Mr. Bruce Pritchard, likes to say. But Dynamite really needs to try to focus and tell those new stories going forward. We've got Wardlow as, I guess, the number one contender coming off that All-Star Challenge. And from what it sounds like, Hangman Adam Page most likely being suspended. Yeah. Because of attacking the referees.
Several referees.
Several
referees. But, yeah, I think to your point, I think there's going to be some intrigue. This could be a kind of a restart button in regards to the tag division and what you want to do to establish that. Because, yeah, you're going to have a tournament. You have a lot of these teams together that you can make stuff very compelling and have, you know, something, a story to kind of tell throughout this tournament to determine new champions after Sting's said and gone and stuff like that. So,
It's also a cheat week, Dom, because you're coming off the pay-per-view and then, you know, next week is big business.
Yes.
So next week we're not supposed to know what's going to happen, guys. So y'all need to promise me.
Can't wait for Wendy Richter to show up.
Listening out there. Yes. Let's act surprised when Mercedes Moné appears. Let's act surprised if we get Rainmaker, but go along for the ride. Like, that's kind of the fun of it. I know that they've kind of teased it. They haven't so telegraphed it that it's beyond obvious, but they're going to need to make the show next week in Boston very, very special. So this week, a little bit of a holding pattern, but you get a chance to wrap up some of those stories coming off of last week's show. Speaking of Wendy Richter, we're going to talk a little bit of female wrestlers from days gone by, Dom, because the WWE had a big announcement this morning.
They sure did. Bull Nakano is going to be the next WWE Hall of Fame inductee, joining Paul Heyman this year in Philadelphia. And ESPN broke the news, and they even got a quote from Bull Nakano. She said, "During my active years, I was able to get championship belts in Japan, America, and Mexico, but just one thing was missing. I didn't get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I wanted this. Finally, in 2024, in WrestleMania week, I am able to get this." My early memories, Bull Nakano, was just during the New Generation era when all they had was Alondra Blaze versus Bull Nakano. That's what you would see on WWE programming a lot of the times. And so that was really, honestly, my first introduction to women's wrestling when she was a part of it. So, Robert, what are your memories of Bull Nakano and stuff like that? And the impact that she's going to have here for the Hall of Fame.
Get to it just a second, real quick. Quick shout out to Johnny Disco, who's saying able to at least catch part of the show live today. Johnny, we've missed having you here listening to the show. Awesome. And excited that Bo Nakano is getting inducted because she fits a couple of interesting criteria here. Number one, she is absolutely someone who, from that Alundra Blayze era, is the name you think of. Yes, there was Bertha Faye, and there was you know, a couple other folks who had a cup of coffee, but the Bull Nakano Alundra Blayze back and forth, that was a hard hitting type of women's wrestling you had not seen. The backhand slap alone was, it looked vicious, and it was a very strange time where you're watching, and the women's wrestling was in some ways a lot more hard hitting and intense than some of the men's wrestling at that point in time. So for the American audience that watched her, remembers her from that period of time, it's a great, oh yeah, moment. Obviously all the accomplishments she's had abroad, especially what she's done in Japan. The interesting fact that she left wrestling and became a lady golfer. She was part of the LPGA for a little while. This is, it's wild. It's great. It's a great pickup for Triple H because you're trying to reestablish the credibility of the Hall of Fame. They have admitted some people who are nice people, good names for it. Are they what they, what you think of the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Like Queen Charmel being in the Hall of Fame before, say, a Lance Storm strikes me as a little odd. So Bo Nakano is someone who has credibility. She has credibility within the wrestling world. She's someone who fits this bill of, we're going to Philadelphia, we want tough people. We've talked about, they've teased Haku possibly being inducted, Heyman going in there. If you're going to bring a woman in, this is a smart play. And then there's the cynical piece. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be this guy for a second. I apologize.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
When you're inducting a woman, especially with everything going on in the WWE right now, there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable questions that are going to be asked because of their interactions with Vince McMahon. Bo Nakano was someone who can sidestep everything that occurred from that particular era that's been so heavily scrutinized of late, of Vince and John Laurinaitis's actions. She is someone who's going to be above reproach in that regard. It's going to be something that the WWE can, you know, you can put her out and have her do press, and you're not going to have her get inundated with those sort of salacious stories that exist. That ugly shadow of Vince McMahon still going to be over everything for a little while. Bull Nakano helps cut through that and is someone who truly deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
100%. Big Andrew, Red Andrew, H. Hermes, he's the researcher for the Arn Anderson Show. He says, what a badass. Leg drop off the cage. Amazing. So pretty cool.
What is it with us and like people from the Arn Show doing run-ins? We put over the Arn Show yesterday. We got this today. We're on our way to like Bromwell eventually making a run-in. And guys, nobody wants that. Hey, you know what we want, Dom? We want the next story. What do we got next?
The next story is another top women's wrestler here in WWE, Rhea Ripley. She had some interesting quotes when it came to a conversation she had on a certain podcast. It's a bunch of initials, so I have to get you read this off here. Let me see here. It is speaking with the BWGS podcast. Rhea talks about being enamored with the likes of Triple H when she was a kid, The Miz, CM Punk, and she was asked which of the three she would like to face in the ring. And so her quote was this: I would like to face Punk with the way that he did his promos and the way he just did everything. It was always entertaining, and I feel like if I were to step into a storyline, it would definitely help skyrocket Rhea Ripley to the next level sort of thing. You know, there's always a talk about intergender wrestling and all that kind of thing, but I think the aspect, Rhea Ripley is so credible looking, and they've established her as just this amazing force that she fits that China role and a little bit of then some too. So it's like, I could firmly believe her competing against a men's match. What would you kind of think about her and Punk tying it up?
I'm not a big fan of intergender wrestling. Mm-hmm. I get in a certain instance, you can tell a story. I think back to like those Tessa Blanchard, Brian Cage matches. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about it that my brain just doesn't fully connect with. I also, when I went to my first pay-per-view that I ever attended as a fan, was Armageddon 99. And I had to watch Chris Jericho, China. That was not a great match. I think Rhea Ripley and Punk could absolutely pull off a spectacular match. I think the promos between the two of them would be remarkable. Rhea Ripley is such a big, bright star that you can see that she would transcend the gender roles, and you would instantly believe her against anyone. I know it'll never happen, but I can totally see if she had to pick somebody wanting to mix it up with CM Punk, the versatility of the move sets, the promo skills, the look. I mean, just the image of the two of them looking at each other on a poster, it's going to put some butts in seats, Dom.
Yeah. And you know what? You could, I think the aspect, the roles would have to almost be reversed where Rhea's the baby face and Punk could play this like mean spirited heel about like kind of doing something like that, if that were to ever come to fruition. But Rhea has really set the tone for like women's wrestling and kind of then some a little bit more where you can buy into what she's doing in the ring, whether it's against, certain guys or her competitors, obviously. And we're going to get to see a good one there at WrestleMania with Becky Lynch coming up. So
shame we never got Rhea Ripley, Bull Nakano.
Right. I know. Holy smokes. That's the thing.
It's like you look at that Nia Jax match that headlined Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Bull Nakano would have been the same general vision, this idea of a much larger, more dominant opponent. But holy hell, would that have been like the first three rows would have got concussions.
Oh,
it would have been that good of a would have been that good of a match.
It would have been great stuff. Great stuff. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Good shit now.
Hey, speaking of,
that was my terror. Was you know what it was? I cheated, guys, for a second. I looked at the run sheet to see who was next. I saw the story. I dropped it in there. Dom, hey, let me ask Dom. Hey, Dom, what's our next topic?
Sure. It happens to be Vince McMahon. He sold some stock yesterday. I believe it was yesterday or maybe the day before. Either way, Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics, he reported that there was a new filing. Vince McMahon sells 5,350,000 of TKO shares, and it values at $410 million. After the transaction, he has about 15 million shares, or about 9% of all TKO stock. Robert, this was expected. More probably to come. What do you kind of think of this? Any thoughts?
Yeah, this was obviously expected. Vince is going to need to free up cash. He's going to have a number of legal fees coming up. You don't want to spend the money you already have, so you may as well sell the stock. And Vince is a savvy investor. He knows as we're approaching WrestleMania, this is when the stock is going to be the hottest. So selling off this large portion helps calm TKO a little bit. I know we talked last week about people were saying, what's Vince's necessary involvement with the WWE and TKO, because he does own all those shares. He has now sold a portion of them. He's probably fortifying himself for the weeks and months and years to come of significant legal fees, much like his good friend Donald Trump. They are facing a mountain of legal bills. It's not the good old days of just calling up Jerry McDivitt and having him help yet. And I think Jerry, if he hasn't yet, I knew he was going to be retiring, but Vince is going to need a significant full-throated legal defense. That is not cheap. And if you've got the stock sitting there, this is the time to sell it. And, honestly, who among us couldn't use an extra $412 million lying around? It's $412 million, Dom, less $5, because he absolutely used that promo code rumor to get some blue chew.
He absolutely did. But yeah, I could find that probably in my couch somewhere. So it's not no big deal. Couch change. The D'Angelo family, we got things covered.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
We got it.
You're absolutely killing me, Smalls. Speaking of Vince.
Speaking of Vince, there was another one, a little news aspect that appeared in them of WWE and TKO further distancing themselves via video game, via the polygonal aspect of the world. We have him blurred out in WWE 2K24 through a cutscene where he's introducing Charlotte Flair as the replacement for Becky Lynch in the story mode. Obviously, makes sense. Would you handle it maybe a different way from a video game perspective, or how do you think of that?
So they didn't have a lot of time.
Sure.
And again, there's no real playbook here, because there's a small degree of a playbook, and this is a very difficult comparison to make. But when the Benoit situation occurred and he was immediately erased from history, and rightfully so, you can remove Chris Benoit from the equation, from the history of professional wrestling, and for the most part, you're still telling a very complete story. It is very difficult to remove Vince McMahon from the history of wrestling, especially when you're releasing a video game about the 40-year history of WrestleMania, and you only have a matter of days and weeks. So removing Brock Lesnar, removing Vince McMahon, it's tough. It's going to be tough how they're going to be able to navigate and handle this. It's also challenging because, again, I it's the lawyer in me. I hate to do it. He has not yet been found guilty by any sort of court, criminal, civil, what have you. There are charges against him. They will be thoroughly investigated and vetted by both parties. But WWE cannot go forward and say, these are, we take everything as gospel, is 100% true. He's erased forever. But at the same time, yeah, we're not going to put this guy front and center, because if there's even a slight chance these are true, we got to start distancing ourselves. So the folks at 2K did the best that they can. On a side note, I did download 2K24 yesterday.
Oh,
just fired it up in the system. It looks like a hell of a game. I know that the team behind that who built 2K23, really smart people, really understand what wrestling fans like. So I'm excited to mess around a little bit in there and hurt some wrestlers digitally. Not at all that I'm transitioning to our next topic of people getting hurt.
Okay. Yes. I wanted to ask you, W, I got to follow up though. I'll follow up.
Oh,
here.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. Sammy Guevara was suspended.
Heard of him. Oh,
he was suspended by AEW after the match he had with Jeff Hardy. Reportedly, Jeff Hardy was hurt in the middle of the match at some point and disoriented. And there should have been some leeway where they check on him, you know, to see if he's okay. And what's going on? Apparently that did not necessarily happen. Jeff was down. Sammy did a shooting star press and his knees connected with Jeff's face, broke his nose, I believe, or at least gave him a bloody nose. Just busted up real bad. We talked about the spot earlier on here, but Sammy is suspended from this. This is several suspensions on Sammy Guevara's case. This is a different instance, more from an in-ring perspective than was backstage stuff that he's had previously. Good move by AEW. Sound move. What do you kind of lay this out here with, Robert?
Great move by AEW. I think the way they laid this out, they have concussion protocol in part because of what happened with Sammy Guevara and Matt Hardy.
Oh my gosh!
That one spot. The idea is that the referee checks on someone if they're disoriented, notifies the guy whether or not the match should continue. Sammy seemingly either didn't see it, didn't give him enough time. We don't know. Went up. He did that move off the top, landing on Jeff Hardy's face, which we commented on. I watched it live on an episode of Rumor and Innuendo for the first time and reacted immediately. We know it's not ballet. We know that there's always potentially going to be injury. There's always going to be a risk when it is a high risk move. You can only control so much, but putting Jeff in that situation, hurting him the way that he did, ignoring protocols, you absolutely have to suspend the guy. AEW did the right thing. I get that the suspension happened after he lost to Hobbs, so at least they were able to get some added value out of Sammy being off television. But yeah, this is another suspension for Sammy Guevara. He was suspended after the Eddie Kingston incident in the back. I don't know if this is an immaturity issue that's still in place with Sammy, if it was just a momentary lapse in judgment. I know that there was the footage after that he went to go shake the Hardys' hands and they flicked him off in the ring. So he's going to have to build some bridges going forward when he comes back. He's a very talented kid, but he is still in a lot of ways a kid and he's learning. And hopefully this is a wake-up call to set things right, Tom. This is a wake-up call for us that we've got about a minute left. What else we have on the table here before we head on out?
Well, let's take a look here. So we have to talk about, hold on a second.
Bruno?
Hold up.
Sir?
Bruno?
Wait, no, it was a reference from that day in Encanto.
Oh, don't you talk about Bruno. Kids. That's right. Yes. I thought you meant Bruno Sammartino. Hey, somebody that is gone from AEW, Santana, removed him from the roster page. No longer there. It's kind of weird to just think he was in a part of Pride, proud, powerful, and now he's no longer there. Seemed like a very big aspect early on AEW. What are your thoughts on that, real quick, Robert?
Santana and Ortiz, you know, the LAX team, the proud and powerful, part of the inner circle, really talented guys. It's a shame that you know, they had what seems to be a legitimate rift that occurred between the two of them. They came back together for a storyline that seemed to only exist on Rampage.
Yeah.
So much so that I didn't even know they were back.
Yeah.
My co-host from Rumor and my co-host, not Rumor and Innuendo, on Wrestle Roasts, Scott Chaplin, had pointed out that he's like, oh, yeah, no, they're back and they're feuding. And I was like, wait, what? It's strange. I feel like there would have been a lot of money there. I haven't gotten a chance to really look into the story and see what happens. Hopefully, you know, things work out well for Santana. He's a hell of a talent. I wouldn't be shocked if he winds up in a TNA, in an MLW, maybe even an NWA if they wind up on CW. I believe that, I don't know if they're already on the CW app yet streaming. They are. But I was going to, damn it, you killed the joke.
I screw it.
Thanks, Tom. I was setting it up. You know what? The hell with it. Where else can they listen to you step on jokes? What other shows, Dom?
You can find me and my family at One of a Kind with RVD. Go to rvdtv.com. Catch a new podcast every Monday at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also do Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. Go to gagneandmagnum.com. Tune into new episodes there. We cover Ole Anderson this week. Also, just wherever you get your podcasts for either of those, you can go and check them out. Otherwise than that, Robert, where can they find you?
Well, wherever you get your podcasts for all the others in the Dominic D'Angelo cinematic universe, you can check out Rumor and Innuendo in audio form. We're on iTunes, Spotify, wherever else you get podcasts. Throw up a 5-star review, helps the algorithm, write a couple kind words, maybe even talk about the fact how Dom should probably wear sleeves going forward for the sake of the children. But yeah, you can catch us on a variety of X platforms, Podcast Heat, the fine folks who make this show possible, the Dominic D'Angelo Twitter account, the WWCreative_ISH Twitter account, SE Scoops. So happy to be part of those guys there, as well as the Rumor and Innuendo and ad-free shows, YouTube pages. Dom, we have plugged a hell of a lot of stuff for you. We had a hell of a show, man. This thing flew by. We will be back tomorrow talking AEW Dynamite and all the other exciting news that happens to you now and then, more stock-related stuff. So on behalf of the guy you want to see Mike Tyson punch in the face, Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
D'Angelo family, Philadelphia.